Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, choir. Our scripture today comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke and the 9th chapter. Jesus has been preaching in the hillside. He's fed thousands. He has cured the sick. He has gathered the faithful around him. He has sent them away for some time of prayer. He has brought them back. Just prior to these verses, he's asked that all-important question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter declares, "You are the Christ, the one, the anointed one." And then he says, "Don't tell anybody." So pick up with verse 23. It's on the screen. I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear the words now from the text that is living today as much as it was then. "Then he said to them all, 'If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to gather together around the throne of grace as we pray. Holy God, we come just as we are, with all of our hurts and pain, our joys, our elations, our hang-ups and habits. We just come. We come on this day asking that you guide us in understanding how we can lean into, step into a more perfect love of you. Ignite within us, O God, a revival, a spirit, a hunger, a thirst for you. Bring to us, O God, your spirit. Fill the atmosphere. Draw us to you, O God, for in you we have our being, our life. So in this moment, O God, speak to us. Speak to us in words that just ring true to our souls, that make our hearts afire for you. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For we, your sons and daughters, are listening. Amen. Amen. Interesting use there of words from the Lord, challenging the crowds on this day. We look at them with different eyes of what can we do to step up. The use of the cross, we see it differently than they saw it in first century Palestine. For them, it was an emblem of the occupation of the Roman Empire. For them, it was a symbol of oppression. It was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of all that was wrong. And here Christ was saying, take upon yourself this symbol and do it daily. Do you see how jarring that was to them? Take upon yourself this emblem. And in just a little while, he was going to take that emblem and convert it to an emblem of love. When he was going to stretch out his hands and say, "I love you this much." And he was saying, take upon yourself the ultimate love and give unto me all that you have, all that you are, and all that you ever hope to be. Do that much for me, because I'm going to do that much for you. You ever thought about it that way? That he was asking them to convert this image that was so distasteful, so horrible for them, and convert it to a sign of obedience and love. I had never thought of it that way until just recently. That Christ calls us to that kind of love, that kind of walk, that kind of commitment. And that's what this Sunday is all about, is showing that type of love to the God who created us, the God who loves us so much that that God put on skin and bones and came and lived among us. As the Message translation says, came and lived in the neighborhood, that we might hear for ourselves and see for ourselves the truth of the depth of grace and love. That's discipleship. And the discipleship definition that we have been wrestling with since January is the lifelong process of loving God and loving neighbors while embracing our identity as a child of this God. A lifelong process. It's not one and done. It's a lifelong process of taking upon ourselves this emblem of love, this emblem of grace, of loving this God and loving the people that God created, and becoming all that God created us to be. That's why we're here today, is to celebrate the many ways in which we can live into that. Well, we've invited three folks from our midst to come and share with us how they plan to step up, lean into, walk into this next year of loving God, loving neighbor, and embracing their identities as children of God. They've been given the question, how am I going to step up in my discipleship? So I ask you to, in love, listen carefully to the stories of Kristen Lee, Karen Schroed, and Matt D'Angelo as they come and share with us.
So when I was first asked this question, it's kind of a hard question to answer, and it took me some time to just answer it. And so I have two reasons, main reasons. And my first reason is I am an older sister, and I want to be a leader to my younger siblings, and I want to just be a great influence to them and just follow God and be a leader and just do what's right and just influence them to do the right things and just come to church all the time. And that's one of my reasons. And my second reason is last year I did not make some good choices, and it took me a long time to forgive myself. And if I didn't forgive myself, then I didn't think God would forgive me. But I went to church camp, and it kind of opened my eyes to tell me that He does forgive me. And it was awesome, because I learned that it may seem like He's not listening to me, but He actually is. And I just want to step up in my faith and just be a better person and come to church all the time and just follow Him. And open my eyes like that. I witnessed that I don't may like not think he's listening, but he actually is listening. And and another reason why is because I had a cousin, and she died when she was 8, and she had cancer, and she played softball, and I play softball, and I've always wanted to take on the number 11 because that represents her. And so in high school, I play high school softball, and I was asked if I wanted to be number 11 because this girl gave it up. And so I just felt like God was speaking to me right then and just telling me that, you know, I just felt this feeling, and, you know, it was awesome because I was really lucky to get number 11, and I've always, like, wanted to be number 11, and I just thought that was pretty cool because, you know, that doesn't happen that often. So, yeah, that's why I am going to step up my discipleship and be a better follower of Christ and just open my eyes more and just pay attention to the things around me.
Good morning. Y'all feeling good today? Good. It's a good day. I wanted to share a few thoughts I had. Actually, Mary Noble asked me this before I went on vacation. So I spent some of my vacation just kind of contemplating and trying to listen to what God wanted me to say. So here's what he shared. He asked, "Have you ever noticed how many times our good intentions never happen? We intend to send a card or maybe go visit someone who's ill or read our Bibles or pray or just do something good for someone. But you know, sometimes life gets in the way and it never happens. It takes time and energy to make our intentions a reality. And I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I get kind of tired and don't have a lot of time or energy. We are encouraging each of you to consider the opportunities Rehoboth is providing to step up and make a commitment to exercise your faith in a new way in the coming months. And as you see in your bulletin, there are many ways that we can do that: joining a small group, serving our church, our community, providing financial support to our missions or to our church. But none of those opportunities will help you grow in your faith unless you decide to participate, and then you have to act. Deciding is not enough. You also have to follow through. I want to share a scripture with you that's been meaningful to me as I've considered my own decisions and actions to grow in my faith. And I'm not really sure why God led me to this, but this is where he sent. So I wanted to share with you the story of Samuel as a boy being dedicated to the Lord and serving with the priest Eli in the temple. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, we read, "The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went back and he laid down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy." Usually when we read the story, we talk about the Lord calling Samuel. However, what struck me about this scripture this time was that Eli recognized that the Lord was calling Samuel. And it took him 3 times before he realized that. So it made me consider, if I were Eli, how long would it take me to figure it out? Would I have recognized that it's the Lord calling Samuel? Would I have been mature enough in my faith to recognize God's call? I want to be ready to hear and act if the Lord calls me and needs me to respond to those in need. I believe it's our responsibility to provide leadership and an example for those who look to us for guidance in our families, our church, and our community. As Kristen said, there are others watching, and so we need to set that example. So as I thought about the ways that I could step up, one of the opportunities that we have is our new 3D group, our Developing Disciples Daily. And I thought that that would be a good way for me to begin to work on the next phase, if you will, on my journey of growing my faith. So I hope with me that you will prayerfully consider how prepared you are to hear and respond to God's call and actively step up and stretch your faith in new directions.
Good morning. So I'm here today stepping up to share something that's been on my heart that I think is a message not just for me to wrestle with, but for us to wrestle with as a church as well. And it's really a message about sharing three truths about following Jesus. And the first one is, when it comes to following Jesus, everyone here has a part in that. Everyone here is called to that. There's not a person here, no matter what you've done, no matter what your background is, no matter where you came from, that is not being called right now in some way to be the love of Christ to the world. God created in us spiritual gifts. Who is it for us to say that God cannot use what God created? This love story that we read about, it's full of people who were very reluctant to follow God when they were called. It's full of examples. You think of Moses, who very reluctantly and eventually did what God asked. These are our stories as well. It doesn't matter where you are. That's the first truth. The second truth is God calls us to follow him right now, wherever we are, in whatever shape we're in, just as we are. God is calling us, saying, follow me. Follow me, period. Not follow me when I'm done with school. Not follow me when the kids are done with sports. Not follow me when that 401k hits the magic number and I can retire. Follow me now. The third thing, and brothers and sisters, we don't want to miss this because this is terribly important, I believe, for me and for all of us. Something very important happens when we follow Jesus, when we actually take the steps, when we act, when we move forward in the way, in the love that Christ taught us to pray, to taught us to care for others, that taught us to care for those who can't care for themselves. Something very interesting happens. You know, John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement, he called this sanctifying grace. And all that really means is just that constant reworking of our hearts, of shaping our hearts to be more like Christ and less like our own self-centered nature. Wesley said that we would go on to perfection as we did this. Now, this is not perfection in an earthly way. It's not about what's in our heads. It's about the perfection of our hearts being shaped more towards like Christ. That's incredible. That is an incredible thing, and it happens as we take these acts of love to other people. That's how we are transformed ourselves. And so as we transform the world, we ourselves become transformed people. Amen.